Welcome. Today you're listening to the podcast of the Baha'is of the Emerald Coast. I'm Sandy Fraser, and along with Ron Fraser.
Hello, everybody.
And we would love to chat with you today about prayer, the importance of it, the attitude of prayer, and probably share with you quite a few of the Baha'i prayers. I had the pleasure just recently of attending a luncheon at a local college, and I was asked to do the invocation. It was quite a thrill because I wanted so much to share one of the Baha'i prayers, and I selected one on unity because the people there were educators and they were volunteers and all working to assist children in learning. So we were all unified in that particular goal, and I shared this prayer about unity from the Baha'i writings. It's a prayer of Baha'u'llah's. Oh my God, oh my God, unite the hearts of thy servants and reveal to them thy great purpose. May they follow thy commandments and abide in thy law. Help them, O God, in their endeavor, and grant them strength to serve thee. O God, leave them not to themselves, but guide their steps by the light of thy knowledge, and cheer their hearts by thy love. Verily, thou art their helper and their Lord.
When I think about prayer, I often think about Janis Joplin's parody back in the 60s, the song she sang.
About the
Lord,
Mercedes?
Won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Well, I think prayer in the Baha'i faith is really quite a bit different than Janis Joplin's prayer. There's a quote from Abdu'l-Baha, which is really striking. First of all, he talks about the importance of communing with God and, you know, communing with your beloved. And then he says, we should speak in the language of heaven, in the language of the spirit. For there is a language of the spirit and heart. It is as different from our language as our language is different from that of the animals, who express themselves only by cries and sounds. It is the language of the spirit which speaks to God. When, in prayer, we are freed from all outward things and turn to God, then it is as if in our hearts we hear the voice of God. Without words we speak, we communicate, we converse with God and hear the answer. All of us, when we attain to a truly spiritual condition, can hear the voice of God. So I think this was really striking to me when I became a Baha'i and started reading these prayers, that there was something completely different going on than what I had experienced as prayer as a child. And of course, as Baha'is, we're welcome to pray that way. You know, we can pray, you know, take care of our mother, take care of our father, you know, heal this sick person. You know, we're free to make requests of God in any way we want. But we're also encouraged to share these, to use these prayers that Baha'u'llah and Abdu'l-Baha have given us.
Yes, with prayer, it's not just the reciting of it, but it's also the reflection of it, the reading aloud of it, the hearing, chanting of it. You know, there's right. Something about that that creates that meditative space. And Muhammad has said that prayer is like a ladder suspended between heaven and earth, by which we can ascend to paradise.
Right. It's almost like two things are going on. One is these words that we're saying, but the other thing that's happening is what's changing inside us.
Yes.
It's like the words of these special prayers tell us in what way we need to change ourselves and also enable us to actually make that change.
Mm-hmm.
There's something spiritual that I can't begin to understand that happens to us. In some of the writings, it describes these prayers as the creative word. The words themselves are able to recreate us, to improve us spiritually.
I think so, because we get in touch with the love that we feel for God. And if we say those prayers with love, you know, in our hearts, it makes a difference. And there is a wonderful prayer, a tablet that was revealed for a man by the name of Ahmad. It has in there that whole state of prayer, how that prayer should be said. It says here, should one who is in affliction or grief, and think about the state that one is in when you're in that kind of state, read this tablet with absolute sincerity. God will dispel his sadness, solve his difficulties, and remove his afflictions. And that, every time I say this prayer, I always check myself to make sure I'm saying it with that sincerity.
Yeah, how much sincerity are we talking about here?
And thinking, oh, I could have been a little more sincere, you know. And really, there's something about that statement that just always checks my condition when I'm praying, and I need that kind of reminder. As a human being, I need reminders like that, so I'm glad that that was there. We're in a different plane. We have these celestial feelings. We feel as if we're between heaven and earth when we're praying, and it's also a connection with God, the prayers, and also with anyone who has gone before us, with ancestors, with anyone that's departed us. You know, I always feel that connection, and I still feel as if I have a relationship with them, a spiritual one, yet a relationship with them, that it continues through this prayer, my offering prayers for their soul and their progress in the next world. And I'm hoping that they are returning the favor for me here, you know, on earth, that they are praying for me. So it's a wonderful connection that we have through prayer. Would you like to share a prayer, dear?
Well, there was a prayer that has always struck me. This is a prayer of Baha'u'llah, where he's talking to God and talking about his view of God. And now, if you think about Baha'u'llah being the manifestation of God, someone like Christ, if you're a Christian listening to this, you can picture Christ praying. And with his intimate connection with God, you know, what would he pray for? I am well aware, O my Lord, that I have been so carried away by the clear tokens of thy loving kindness and so completely inebriated with the wine of thine utterance, that whatever I behold, I readily discover that it maketh thee known to me. And it remindeth me of thy signs and thy tokens and of thy testimonies. By thy glory, every time I lift up mine eyes unto thy heaven, I call to mind thy highness and thy loftiness and thine incomparable glory and greatness. And every time I turn my gaze to thine earth, I am made to recognize the evidences of thy power and the tokens of thy bounty. And when I behold the sea, I find that it speaketh to me of thy majesty and of the potency of thy might and of thy sovereignty and thy grandeur. And at whatever time I contemplate the mountains, I am led to discover the ensigns of thy victory and the standards of thine omnipotence. I swear by thy might, O thou in whose grasp are the reins of all mankind and the destinies of the nations, I am so inflamed by my love for thee and so inebriated with the wine of thy oneness, that I can hear from the whisper of the winds the sound of thy glorification and praise, and can recognize in the murmur of the waters the voice that proclaimeth thy virtues and thine attributes, and can apprehend from the rustling of the leaves the mysteries that have been irrevocably ordained by thee in thy realm. Glorified art thou, O God of all names and the creator of the heavens. I render thee thanks that thou hast made known unto thy servants this day, whereon the river that is life indeed hath flowed forth from the fingers of thy bounty, and the springtime of thy revelation, and thy presence hath appeared through thy manifestation unto all who are in thy heaven and all who are on thy earth. This is the day, O my Lord, whose brightness thou hast exalted above the brightness of the sun and the splendors thereof. I testify that the light it sheddeth proceedeth out of the glory of the light of thy countenance, and is begotten by the radiance of the morn of thy revelation. This is the day whereon the hopeless have been clothed in the raiment of confidence, and the sick attired with the robe of healing, and the poor drawn nigh unto the ocean of thy riches. The prayer goes on for several pages, so I'm not going to read all of that, but I think that gives you a flavor of the majesty of this language. It's not a human, I mean, even though it's written in English, it's not a human language. It's putting together these English words in ways that I don't think an ordinary human being could put together.
Yeah, I was listening to that and trying to think of that attitude of prayer, one of reverence and careful reflection and very close listening and good posture. You know, I feel like I'm more grounded if I'm, you know, sitting up straight and listening. I don't think I've ever heard that prayer before.
It's from Prayers and Meditations.
Ah, it's wonderful. We'll have to read up on that. Okay. Thank you for sharing that prayer. It was so lovely. Ron and I had the pleasure again of experiencing the pilgrimage in Haifa, Israel, and it was the most wonderful place. We felt like we were not on this earth. It was just, I cannot even describe it, and we'll have to save a podcast just for that. But it was really a highlight of my life. And while we were there, we talked a little bit about prayer, and it just really happened very spontaneously. We were with a group of maybe 20, 30 people. There was a wonderful story, and I won't say the names because I don't want to get anything inaccurate or anything, but I'll just give you the flavor of the story. And someone had explained to me that there was a mother of one of the daughters of a very preeminent person in the faith, and they were asking her if she wanted to have children and a family and so forth. And her response was such a spiritual response. It had a lot of thought before talking, and she said, well, whatever is the wish of God, whatever is God's wish, and whatever is best. I don't think I had ever thought whatever is best. You know, when I was praying prior to this, it was always what I wanted, you know. And it took my prayer to a level of maturity, I feel, because I don't always know what's best. And if I leave that up to God, you know, I will always be in a better place. I remember that story that friend shared with us when we were on pilgrimage, And so now I try to do that when I say my prayers. It's not, you know, I'd like to have this or I'd like to have that as it was prior to that time of pilgrimage. It's now what is best.
So you're trying to get away from Janis Joplin.
Yeah, from being so very specific, you know. It's not that I don't want that Mercedes, but I'm not asking for it very, very much like that anymore.
Here's another quote from Abdu'l-Bahá where he talks about that condition. He says, "We must strive to attain to that condition by being separated from all things and from the people of the world and by turning to God alone. It will take some effort on the part of man to attain to that condition, but he must work for it, strive for it. We can attain to it by thinking and caring less for material things and more for the spiritual. The further we go from the one, the nearer we are to the other. The choice is ours. Our spiritual perception, our inward sight must be opened so that we can see the signs and traces of God's Spirit in everything. Everything can reflect to us the light of the Spirit."
That's great. You know, with that study circle and that section on prayer, we talk so much about how the progress of our souls depends on prayer, because prayer is the food of the soul. We talked about how we should free ourselves of ego. We want our prayers to have great effect. And to have prayer is the state of prayer, or the true state of prayer is faith. You know, that we should have complete trust in the mercy of God and be certain that he will grant what is best for us. Abdu'l-Bahá has said that to us.
There's a place where Baha'u'llah says something similar to what I just read. This is Baha'u'llah speaking for God. So this is part of the direct revelation from God. So the word me is used, but that's God speaking as me. "Deliver your souls, O people, from the bondage of self, and purify them from all attachment to anything besides me. Remembrance of me cleanseth all things from defilement, could ye but perceive it. Intone, O my servant, the verses of God that have been received by thee, that the sweetness of thy melody may kindle thine own soul and attract the hearts of all men. Whoso reciteth in the privacy of his chamber the verses revealed by God, the scattering angels of the Almighty shall scatter abroad the fragrance of the words uttered by his mouth."
Prayer is such a useful tool, too. I have learned over the years of being a Baha'i that it is something that is very important to do. It's an action, you know, to be praying.
You say it's a tool to do what?
It's a tool for helping you cope with the situation. You know, we often, as Baha'is, we often begin our meetings with prayers or any of our activities with prayers. We're calling on that assistance and realizing why we are there, you know, what the overall purpose of our being there is all about. Not the nitty-gritty, you know, types of details, but why are we all there? You know, we're united in some particular activity. And even, you know, when I see, you know, accidents and things like that on the road, my immediate inclination is to pray, you know, to pray for whoever those people were. You know, it's a connection, and it's an action that I can take. You know, there's already workers there helping with the accident to clear people away, to get the injured person out of the vehicle and to the hospital. But it's something more that I can be doing as I'm passing this. It gives me something, an action that I can take, a positive action towards what has happened. And I feel, you know, like there may be a connection there for that person. Maybe they need that prayer now. And we have so many prayers that we can rely on. When you look through our prayer book, there's everything from assistance to, you know, the visitation prayer, you know, when we have a pilgrimage. I mean, there are prayers in between there too, you know, prayers for healing and prayers for marriage. Expectant mothers and, you know, prayer for marriage. And
there's even a prayer for husbands.
Yes, there's a prayer for husband. I should say that a little bit more than I do. It's a beautiful prayer. There's a beautiful line from that prayer that talks about make them as angels that walk among the earth. And it's a lovely line in that prayer that I love and enjoy so much.
There was a prayer that's always touched me. This was a prayer written by Baha'u'llah when he was in Sulaymaniyah. You know, Christ went into the desert for a period of time and lived by himself. And Baha'u'llah did that also. He went to the mountains in eastern Iraq and lived in a little hut for about 2 years. So this is one of the prayers that he wrote while he was living in solitude. Create in me a pure heart, O my God, and renew a tranquil conscience within me, O my hope. Through the Spirit of power, confirm thou me in thy cause, O my best beloved. And by the light of thy glory, reveal unto me thy path, O thou the goal of my desire. Through the power of thy transcendent might, lift me up unto the heaven of thy holiness, O source of my being, and by the breezes of thine eternity gladden me, O thou who art my God. Let thine everlasting melodies breathe tranquility on me, O my companion, and let the riches of thine ancient countenance deliver me from all except thee, O my master. And let the tidings of the revelation of thine incorruptible essence bring me joy, O thou who art the most manifest of the manifest and the most hidden of the hidden.
You know, one of the places that I go when I'm really troubled and really want to be in that the right state of being for prayer. When we were on pilgrimage, we went to the shrine of Baha'u'llah, and we were there. In my mind's eye, I go to the shrine of Baha'u'llah, and I offer my prayer that I say here in this space, because we were told when we were there that any prayers that were offered there would have special attention because they were at the shrine of Baha'u'llah. So when I really, really want something, feel like I want to be heard and really feel like I want that connection with God, I go to that shrine of Baha'u'llah in my mind. I don't literally, you know, I can't literally go there for pilgrimage to Haifa each time, but I can go there in my mind's eye. And it's a wonderful, comforting place to be there at that shrine.
When you're inside the shrine, it's really easy to imagine that the world outside has disappeared, that everything is peaceful and pure. So it's kind of nice to be able to sort of resurrect that feeling in yourself when you're praying.
Yes, and so close to Baha'u'llah and just the essence of him, you feel it, that he is there. So
for myself, I've always had trouble praying because I wasn't brought up in a religious home. I don't think I really developed a real love for God as a child, and I'm still, as an adult, struggling with this process. I mean, I just work on it every day trying to develop my love for God, and I'm making progress. And there's a few lines from Abdu'l-Bahá where he talks about this. He says, if one friend loves another, is it not natural that he should wish to say so? Though he knows that the friend is aware of his love, does he still not wish to tell him of it? It is true that God knows the wishes of all hearts, but the impulse to pray is a natural one, springing from man's love to God. Prayer need not be in words, but rather in thought and action. But if this love and this desire is lacking, it is useless to try to force them. Words without love mean nothing. If a person talks to you as an unpleasant duty, finding neither love nor enjoyment in the meeting, do you wish to converse with him? So what I think part of our spiritual path is developing this love so that we are able to not only pray, but also to tell other people about God and share religion with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think too you hit on something about the work being done in the service. It's like worship, you know. Work done in the right spirit is action that
right.
is.
Right, he talks about thoughts and actions
yes,
being prayers.
And that is so wonderful, too, to have that kind of work ethic, you know, to really appreciate what it is that you're doing and feel as if you're connecting in that manner, too. That's really neat. One thing that we haven't talked about is that we have obligatory prayers as Baha'is. It's part of the laws, you know, that we have, and it's part of being faithful to God's covenant to connect in that manner. We have obligatory prayer, so we are praying daily, you know, through the action of the obligatory prayer.
In thinking about the obligatory prayer, since it is obligatory and being an American, you know, you kind of hate everything that's obligatory. And it's really a test, you know, you have to really kind of check yourself. And you're not supposed to just sort of, you know, babble off the prayer without thinking about it. You're supposed to really get yourself into this space where you're communing with God and doing so with love and not doing it out of an obligation, you know, doing it with anger or frustration. You're supposed to be doing it out of love. And so it's kind of a daily check on your spiritual growth, however much love and devotion you can have in your obligatory prayer. Here's another quote by Abdu'l-Bahá. He says, "In the highest prayer, men pray only for the love of God, not because they fear him or hell or hope for bounty or heaven. When a man falls in love with a human being, it is impossible for him to keep from mentioning the name of his beloved. How much more difficult is it to keep from mentioning the name of God when one has come to love him? The spiritual man finds no delight in anything save in commemoration of God." There's a cute story from when Abdu'l-Bahá was visiting this country back in 1912. One of the Americans asked Abdu'l-Bahá to teach him to pray. So Abdu'l-Bahá told the man to come to his room at 6 o'clock the next morning, and he'd show him how to pray. So this guy shows up at Abdu'l-Bahá's bedroom, and the door was open. So he goes in, and Abdu'l-Bahá is praying next to his bed, and so he. This American arranged himself opposite on the other side of the bed so he could be looking at Abdu'l-Bahá. And he sort of expected Abdu'l-Bahá to open his eyes and greet him and say something, but he didn't. Abdu'l-Bahá was obviously immersed in some kind of spiritual reverie. He had a very peaceful look on his face, and he was just had sitting there or kneeling there beside the bed with his eyes closed. So the guy eventually figured, well, I'll just say some prayers. So he had a few prayers memorized. So he said his prayers, and he kept peeking at Abdu'l-Bahá, and Abdu'l-Bahá was still in the same state with his eyes closed. So he said all of his prayers, and he said them all again, and he was kind of getting tired, and his knees were starting to hurt from kneeling down on the hardwood floor, and the birds outside were making a lot of racket, and he was thinking how he wasn't going to be able to concentrate with these birds, and then he noticed that the paint on the wall was cracked and it needed to be painted, and Then he went back and said a few more prayers, and at some point he just sort of lost himself in the prayer, and he just had a moment, just a few seconds of bliss and feeling close to God. And right at that moment, Abdu'l-Bahá spoke to him, and he says, "That's it. That's how you pray." He said, "You don't pay any attention to the birds, and you don't pay any attention to the cracks in the paint. You know, you just have that connection with God."
Well, that's a good lesson, because it shows us that it may take some time and practice.
And it isn't something that you can really say in words. You know, words don't quite suit the process of prayer. So you just sort of have to do it and keep doing it and working on it. And there's a wonderful line in the Quran that he who seeks me will find me. Another place it says, in our ways, that's a capital O, in our ways will we surely guide him. So even though our spiritual growth is a difficult thing, we do have the assurance of God that we will be successful if we stay at it, keep working at it.
I was just thinking about the children who pray. I've heard such little children say such beautiful prayers that they have memorized from a tiny age.
I think about that too, and how blessed those children are to have started to develop their relationship with God when they're only a few years old.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully when they get to be my age, they don't have the struggle that I do. Hopefully for them to commune with God is more natural.
Mm-hmm.
I heard a cute story about a Persian lady that had the habit of chanting the Baha'i prayers as she was driving her car. And she had three rear-end collisions because she would get so immersed in these, in the words of the prayer, that she would not pay enough attention to the traffic.
Oh, dear. Well, what's so nice, too, about the Baha'i prayers is that we have prayers in so many different languages. We have shared prayer books with friends who speak Russian, who speak Spanish, and Chinese. I think it was Mandarin. We've been very lucky that the prayers have been published in so many different languages and are available to the friends as they need them.
Yeah, there's actually several hundred languages that the writings have been published.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that will conclude our conversation about prayer. We've been delighted to be here with you, and we hope you have a glorious day. And at any time, you're welcome to join us. Just look for us.
You've been listening to the podcast of the Baha'is of Florida's Emerald Coast. If you'd like to learn more about the Baha'i faith, look on the internet. The international site is baha'i.org. You'll find information about the faith, and there's also links to the Baha'i communities in several dozen countries around the world. Or, in the U.S., go to baha'i.us. Remember that Baha'i is B-A-H-A-I. In Florida, our website is Emerald Coast Baha'is, that's with an S at the end, .org. EmeraldCoastBaha'is.org. Our phone numbers to talk to a human, call 1-800-22-UNITE, or in Florida, call 850-543-2129. To leave us a voicemail, toll free, call 866-590-4545. And please let us know if we can use your message on the air in one of our podcasts. You can also email us at panhandlebaha'is@aol.com. Thanks for listening.